It's time once again for the If Your Horse Could Talk show with your host, Lisa Ross Williams. If Your Horse Could Talk presents information about natural horse care and horsemanship to horse owners who question how and why we do the things we do with our horses today. Now here's your host, Lisa Ross Williams.
And welcome back to another informational If Your Horse Could Talk webcast. I'm your host, Lisa Ross Williams, and today I'll be chatting with my friend and colleague, Dr. Joseph Thomas, about the equine immune system. Now, If Your Horse Could Talk promotes natural horse care through knowledge, and through our dedication, the lives of horses are improved by educating their human caretakers to a more natural approach. Our goal is simple: to bring all the natural horse care concepts together so it's easy to learn and apply. We also empower horse lovers like you with knowledge so that you can make informed decisions. And finally, we bring together a network of natural-minded equine experts. Now, we do this through our extensive website at naturalhorsetalk.com, which offers articles, photos, a new question and answer page, our online store, these webcasts, and an extensive links page. And we are always updating, and soon we'll be offering special member benefits and an upcoming home study course via interactive DVD. I am really proud to say that we are the premier resource for natural horse care and have been since 1999. But now on with the show. Again, today's guest is Dr. Joseph Thomas, and we're going to be chatting about the elegance and the complexity of the horse's immune system and the effects of domestication, vaccinations, and the equine metabolic syndrome, how they affect it. Welcome, Dr. Thomas. Thanks so much for being with us again today.
Thank you, Lisa. I always love being with you.
Well, I just wish we were closer and could do this in person, but...
Glad I do, too, Lisa. It'd be so fun.
Well, who knows? Maybe someday.
I know.
Well...
May I?
Absolutely.
Okay. The immune system is something that is a love of mine. I really wanted to do this show because I've been realizing for such a long time that horse people are, you know, using the word immune deficiency, compromised immune system, and really, you know, and I forget that everyone is not involved as deeply as I am in the intricacies and research and study of immunology. And I'm thinking that, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I could somehow give a conceptual understanding to your listeners for this magnificent marvel, the immune system? And let's start with this wonderful phrase I think of with the immune system, and it is that the immune system has the remarkable ability to distinguish self from not self. Now, we could actually just stop the show right here. You know, because that is the essence of the immune system, and from that place, and I will return to it, because I would like people to... I want everyone to memorize that.
Okay.
Because here we are, we're dealing with something that everyone has this idea that the immune system is the protective and defensive system of the horse against something.
Right.
And really what it is always doing is making this delineation between what is self and what is not self. So the immune system is functionally a system that deals in boundaries and borders. And that when the border is crossed, the immune system has to do something about it.
Okay.
And the immune system is made up of, comprised of, actually is a group of cells, and they're white blood cells. And the white blood cells can be broken down into essential elements that all have different functions and yet work together in this beautiful interplay so that they'll call upon one another when it's needed. And here's the, I'm going to use the word leukocyte, because that, rather than white blood cell. Actually, when we say white blood cell, it means leukocyte, but leukocyte is a way for me to say there are specific white blood cells.
Okay.
And these are these terms, leukocytes. Because this is what's traveling around the body's lymph system, which is, I started trying to think of the best way to present the network that these marvelous cells travel around the body, because they move between the organs, through the organs, around tissues and cells, and it leaves it, to me, because I'm so visual, I can see, and you can in a wonderful any anatomy and physiology book, the intricate network of the lymphatic system, which moves the leukocytes around the body. And it looks like this tremendous picture from a satellite where you can see all of these roadways where you can't see the defects. That actually looks like this is going to work.
Right.
And here's this intricate network that covers the entire body. And really does, it covers its tissues and it moves all of these leukocytes around the body for the sole purpose of maintaining the boundaries, maintaining self from not self. And just to make sure that the immune system covers every part of the body, it also travels through the circulatory system. This way it really has its borders covered.
Right.
Wonderful thing. This is a wonderful immunologist. Of course, I can't remember his name right now.
That's okay.
<Yeah. laughs>
We won't remember it even if you said it.
Good. I was wondering about labeling the leukocytes, so I thought maybe I won't do that either. But anyway, this wonderful immunologist, I just have all this respect for, he identified and gave the metaphor of the immune system of a totalitarian state.
Okay.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little sick, but I like it. And here it is, he says, it keeps the foreigners out. That's its job. The immune system is to keep the foreigners out and keep the citizens in. And if the citizens misbehave, they go out too. There's the totalitarian state of the immune system.
Okay.
I love that.
That makes sense.
Well, it is. It's a little disturbing, but I got off on it. And the immune system, and I'm just going to talk about the two primary breakdowns of the immune system. They're called the innate and the adaptive.
Okay.
These truly just are marvelous evolutions. The innate immune system is a system that quite literally has been evolving in the horse for millions of years. And so it has its recognition system of the foreign particles. I'm going to call them antigens. And what an antigen is defined as simply is that any microorganism, substance, toxin, anything that provokes an immune response, that's an antigen.
Okay, so that could be, for instance, it could be a virus, it could be bacteria, it could be something, an allergen, it could even be perhaps dust or something like that, or...
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's an antigen. If it makes the immune system respond, it's an antigen.
Okay.
That's why I want to use that word.
All right.
And so the innate immune system has several cells, and quite a few. I really don't want to name them. There's just too many. But they all have very specific functions, and their job is when the boundary is crossed, that they are to rally up, trap them, ingest them, destroy them, get rid of them. And in thinking about the innate system, because it really is something that has evolved and is part of the collective system, so that every horse has this, every horse has an innate immune system that responds to the same particles, and such as, let's think about the first line of defense, which is the skin and mucous membranes, the nose and the throat, and I think is a nice way to begin, so that the simplest immune response I can think of, and I want to start with the simplest so that we talk about a system that works.
Right.
The horse gets a cut.
Okay.
A gash. Just a cut.
And that happens with horses. Absolutely.
And immediately, because what happened is the boundary has been broken. The innate immune system immediately sets up the first response, which is, and this is not usually thought of as a healthy thing, it sets up an immediate immune inflammatory response. All right?
Right.
That's the first one. And its job is to trap and encircle the injured area and the injured tissue, so that one of the leukocytes, whose job is, and there really is one that moves really fast, the neutrophil.
Okay.
And it comes to the area and clears out the dead tissue and removes anything that is going to be harmful as a foreign particle.
Okay.
And allows the clotting to happen and do it. And here we have a very simple immune response. But it first begins with the inflammatory response, which is to circle the area, the tissue, and the damaged site. And then something comes along to clean it up. That's the first immune system response.
Now, can I interject here for quickly? Now, what about, you know, everybody who sees inflammation, if they see swelling or they see something like that, they have been, not everybody, but those who don't know, automatically want to stop that. That is their first reaction. We have to get rid of that swelling. But really, that is hindering the body's ability to start to heal, correct?
Oh, my. You're way along in the talk, Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we can come back to that.
No, it's wonderful. Because that is what, you know, when I started thinking about this talk, there's all of these terms and ideas that, you know, is like an inflammatory response. Everyone thinks of inflammation, and you've got the fluid swelling and the heat. And indeed, what that is, and I will do this in more detail later, is that this initial inflammatory response, whose only job is to set up and provoke an immune response from a leukocyte.
Okay.
It's then supposed to be terminated. That inflammation, that inflammatory response, once it's done its job of setting up the antigen to be destroyed and eliminated, is supposed to be terminated by, there are three leukocytes whose job it is to dampen the immune, that first immune response, and end it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So if those leukocytes don't do that, what happens is you have a pathological inflammatory response, which then turns into just what you're talking about, which is the fluid swelling and the massive swelling at a knee, or we'll get to the hoof. But that is a pathological inflammatory response, and it's what happens when these particular leukocytes are deficient.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it will more. And so here it is, because the inflammatory response is really, you know, if anything gets irritated or injured, it's just supposed to say, let's go. We've got work to do.
Right.
And it also provides a means by which the defensive cells can gain access to the sites. from the circulatory system. So the inflammatory response actually has all of this tremendous defensive abilities that has to happen at the beginning.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and then there are these cells, neutrophils, that they have a very short lifespan, but they're really hard workers. You know, they come in, they move fast, and they try to get it done, which they can take care of something like a cut. But if we've got something much bigger, it can't work, so it enlists the help of another leukocyte. So it has this marvelous interdependency of all of these cells working together to be able to take care of any breach.
Okay, now to me that kind of sounds, to put it in a different way, like, say, our military. We have our first line of defense, you know, but, you know, we also have the reserves that can and will be called up if we need additional resources. And then working together, they are able then to, or should be able to, protect our country or our body.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it is the perfect metaphor. And I really tried to not do that, wouldn't Lisa? But I couldn't help myself. I actually enlisted Crystal, you know, to my wife and editor, to say, can you give me another metaphor so I don't have to use combat?
Right.
So here we are.
Okay.
It's all right. It works, because we are talking about, you know, trapping, ingesting, killing, and eliminating.
Right. Right.
So it seems it is actually a violent act. Now, Let's then take it from a simple invasion, from minor tissue damage or a minor microbial, you know, a microbe coming through the nose and the throat, and, you know, something that is where the innate immune system is having difficulty terminating the antigen. And then what happens is it has the ability and will, because life always wants to take care of itself. It always wants to heal. I do believe that.
Absolutely.
And then we have the adaptive immune system, which is the aspect of our immune system that is very personal. It actually evolves in each individual horse differently, unlike the innate system, which is from the collective and quite literally for millions of years and originated from invertebrates, which really just blows my mind that here we are running around, we and the horses, with this innate system from invertebrates that is able to take care of these antigens. But then there are just things that, because of the evolution of the species, it can't, and it calls on the adaptive immune system, and it's adaptive because it really is about the unique horse. So that here we come up with a situation, and let's take a situation where a bacterial virus or you know, or a parasitic virus, where we have something that the innate immune system is not able to take care of by itself.
Okay.
It then calls on the adaptive immune system, and the leukocytes of that system are lymphocytes. There's B and T lymphocytes. Now, it calls on the B lymphocyte first and to make an antibody. Oh. And an antibody is a protein that first, what it does is it hooks onto the antigen. It has this amazing ability to lock onto it and stay so it doesn't separate.
Okay.
This now allows the T lymph, it doesn't have, an antibody doesn't have the ability by itself to destroy an antigen. It has two primary functions. One is to call on the T lymphocyte, which has this remarkable ability to eliminate antigens very quickly, very efficiently, very effectively, and it will tell the T lymphocyte that I've got the antigen trapped. Call on whoever you need and let's get rid of it.
Okay.
So it does that. But also, this is what makes the adaptive system so personal, is that once an antibody is produced, that antibody is produced for a specific antigen. And what it then does is creates an immunologic memory of that antigen. So here's the personal part. So a horse comes in contact with a streptococcus, like a strangle infection.
Mm-hmm.
And what's supposed to happen is the B lymphocyte is supposed to produce an antibody for this virus. And then it's supposed to create a memory in the adaptive immune system so that if it ever presents itself again in the future, it then calls up its job because it's quite literally it's in hard drive, and that then it can call on the T lymphocyte and it works very quickly and removes it much faster.
Because it has that memory, it remembers that specific antigen, and it stored that, and so then it's ready to then fight that again when it shows up, and it's quicker.
Yes.
Okay.
And it has all of its strategies laid out within that memory, so it doesn't have to work through it anymore.
Okay.
And this is actually where the whole concept of immunizations came from. Is the ability for the adaptive immune system to create an antibody and have a memory for it.
Okay.
This is where vaccinations really came from.
Now,
is this idea.
And that would also be a natural exposure, too, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes. That's right. Very good.
Well, I remember, I don't want to get off track too much,
but
Bam Bam and Riley, when they were a year old, actually got the flu, influenza, and got through it pretty quickly, 3 or 4 days. They felt kind of crappy, but they, you know, had good immune systems and made it through. And the vet was coming out for something else, and I told him, you know, we got through that, and the first thing he said is, well, then are you ready for a shot? And I said, well, why would I, since they just had natural exposure and their bodies now will know that? And, of course, he didn't have an answer. I think he was just trying to sell me a shot.
Well, yes, but you have the answer already.
Right, right.
You were already talking about B lymphocytes producing antibodies with an immunologic memory.
Right.
Isn't that a trip?
That's very cool.
Yeah, but I know it. You knew that. I had to do all this.
Oh.
Studying for all these years to learn that. So I think that's great. And so, you know, and then we get into this idea that, you know, it makes perfect sense that vaccination should work based on this healthy immune system model, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it does if there's a good, healthy immune system. And
I was setting you up.
I know.
How are we setting the listener up? I don't know.
I walked right into that one.
Oh, you did. You know, because really, it does make sense because, you know, because smallpox and polio and all that stuff really did work.
Right.
You know, but there's something different that's happened. And I want to circle through this, if I may. Did you feel like I've covered the basic function of the immune system adequately, Lisa?
Absolutely. I think that gives the listeners a good basic working knowledge of what's going on, you know, what these cells are doing and what their jobs are. So absolutely.
Okay, good. Now let's get into talking past the data.
Okay.
This is an MIT scientist who's been waiting 30 years to do this.
Awesome.
You know, because you never talk past the data. So first I'm going to start with a Texas A&M veterinary research study.
Okay.
Which, because I was an MIT scientist, I am very sensitive to what is a well-designed study. This is a really well-designed study.
Hmm.
It was done in 2003. They took a large sampling of horses, divided them in two groups. Basic design. One group has chronic laminitis. Another group is healthy. And I'll put quotations around that. I don't know what that means.
Right.
But, so let me just give a definition of chronic laminitis. And that's the horses in that group all have had a prior episode, at least one. So they all have a predisposition by virtue of the underlying metabolic disease. Now, what they did with these two groups, and they actually did a good-sized group, so I go, well, that's a good study. They did injections of antigens in both groups of these horses and looked at the results.
Okay.
And what they found was, surprisingly, it's not surprising, I didn't write my articles yet, they found that by doing this, the horses with the metabolic disease, their immune systems were dramatically affected, and they all, you know, most horses all had local and general inflammation. They all had massive fluid swelling. There was destruction of tissue from these antigens, and some of the horses even displayed the concept of an autoimmune disease, which is a breakdown of the golden rule of boundary, where the immune system has a remarkable ability to distinguish self from not self, and in an autoimmune disease, the horse, an organism, anyone, does not make that distinction. It sees its own body, its own tissue, its own organs, as an antigen, and that the healthy system must be trapped, ingested, eliminated. That's an autoimmune disease. That basic concept of boundary of self and not self does not exist. That's big.
Yeah, it is big.
And autoimmune diseases are big. Let's go back to this study. And what I found was, in all of the, you know, my massive collection of blood work, is that horses that have metabolic diseases, VMS, have specific leukocyte deficiencies and immaturities. And they are primarily the BNT lymphocytes, which is, that's big, and also leukocytes that are supposed to dampen inflammation.
Okay.
That's a problem. Because that means once the horse is introduced to an antigen, it starts an inflammatory process, and the cells that are supposed to terminate that healthy inflammatory process are not available in enough strength and maturity to terminate the inflammatory process, and that's where you start getting heat, massive fluid swelling, and it starts running away.
Okay.
And this is why the vaccine in this study, because what they also found was that because functionally what they did was vaccination. They didn't just take a massive antigen, they took a small quantity of it, and in the study they did say they used the words that there's a hypersensitivity, heightened response to vaccination, and the horses were most likely to have an acute episode. And indeed, that would happen, because if you have a runaway inflammatory response, which is what would happen, so here we have toxins, antigens, being injected into the body. It's traveling through the bloodstream. It reaches the hoof, And then we have an inflammatory response happening, and it can't be terminated because the necessary leukocytes are not available because of the weakened immune system, the deprived immune system of a metabolic loss, so that the inflammation continues. And when you have a runaway inflammation, you have heat at the hoof. Everyone keeps, you know, and they're going, oh, it's a digital pulse. It really isn't. It's the heat from the inflammation.
Right.
And then you have the inflammatory response running away. So fluid swelling just keeps growing and growing. And here it is in the hoof capsule that's confined.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where the inflammation separates the lamina in a vaccination.
Ah, okay.
Because it's not, you know, and, you know, the whole term laminitis as an inflammation of the lamina. Well, actually, the inflammation is because of the dysfunctional immune system that the neutrophils, the eosinophils, the macrophages, they are not available to terminate the healthy immune response, and it turns into a pathological runaway inflammatory response, and here it is in this confined capsule. Something's got to give.
Right.
And what gives is the lamina, because it's pushing at this boundary.
Right.
Now, we can say that, well, that's fine, you know, because I've certainly shown that virtually every horse with EMS has low lymphocytes, low monocytes, which make macrophages, low neutrophils. So, you know, we can say, well, the reason the vaccination caused this problem is because of the weakened immune system. And I'm certainly not going to argue that.
Okay.
But now here's where I'm going to speak past the data, and you're going to speak past it with me.
Okay.
Because I, in my job, and you, I won't speak for you yet. You can do that.
Okay.
I, in my job, and I don't know how many horses over all these years that, you know, whose blood work and stories have come across my desk that did not have laminitis, an acute episode, until they had a vaccination.
Well, now, does that also play into getting away from laminitis just a little bit? Allergies.
Allergy is, yes, it does.
Because
you're absolutely right.
It seems like over-vaccination predisposes horses then to have allergies. At least that's what I'm seeing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But can I just give a little definition of an allergy?
Absolutely.
Let's just call it as any allergic, because there's so many, any allergic disorder occurs when the immune system overreacts to exposure of some environmental antigen, and it's overreacting because of this heightened response.
Okay.
You know that the antigen is just too much for the horse's immune system to deal with, so it goes into overdrive. And that's the allergy.
I see.
If the immune system's overdrive by the environmental stimuli as a consequence of a deficient immune system.
And so that's why horses would then react to things that they shouldn't, such as dust or bugs or,
you know. Absolutely.
Okay.
You've got it.
All righty.
You really do. I'm about ready to start into something, and I go, is it time for a commercial?
Actually, I'm looking at that, so if this is a good time, let's go ahead.
It really is.
Awesome. We're going to take a short break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
This is Lisa Ross Williams from If Your Horse Could Talk, and Dr. Joseph Thomas from For Love of the Horse has helped me so much with my horses, I need to share this with you. For Love of the Horse offers you effective choices in your horse's health, even at the most frightening places. One of those places is laminitis. And we would like you to realize that if your horse founders, there is something you can do that will give her a real opportunity for recovery. The truth is, laminitis is too complicated a disease to be treated by a single product. The most effective care you can offer your horse must be different in each of the individual facets of the three stages of laminitis. Dr. Thomas has devoted the past 10 years to reach this place where For Love of the Horse can now provide the only complete laminitis intervention program that treats all aspects and stages of this dreaded disease. This is a program, and as such, intervenes in a carefully thought-through plan of treatment essentials in the form of herbal solutions and care and management advice that move together for optimal results. ForLoveOfTheHorse.com, 866-537-7336, a Chinese herbal solution company where precision and sophistication of proprietary formulations provide you with effective choices, results, and integrity of service. That's www.forloveofthehorse.com or 1-866-537-7336.
And we're back with the If Your Horse Could Talk show. I'm talking with Dr. Joseph Thomas, and we're talking about the immune system, and that, of course, branches off to a couple different things. We hit on laminitis, we hit on allergies, and so let's move on to the next point that you wanted to make.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I wanted to go to start by bringing people back to the concept of it makes sense. I want it to make sense. That horses with a metabolic disease have a weakened immune system specific to the type of leukocyte. And the vaccination then makes the B lymphocyte produce an antibody. And then the T lymphocyte is supposed to get rid of it, but it doesn't.
Okay.
Okay? Now, you and I are saying that horses without, because I want to talk about horses that don't have metabolic syndromes, just like you're talking about the allergies.
Right.
That are responding in a manner that is similar to this, where they're hypersensitive to antigens. And then this is where everyone, here I'm doing it too, this large number of people, and then goes up to the show, well, how could this all come about? You know, because I think about it, and I think it makes sense to me that humans are sick.
Right.
And maybe that's from 25 years of treating humans. But it makes sense to me that humans are sick, and then there's this part of me that is really puzzled that a creature like a horse that's been around for 60 million years, so many of these horses are sick.
Right.
And I do believe that the immune system is at the basis of all health. So that gets me to this place of what are the major contributors to the immune system's demise. And there are two. One is nutrition, and the other is stress.
Makes sense.
And I love it because I can bring nutrition up because you're here to help me.
Now, that's one of my favorite subjects, as you know.
Here we are. So I believe that by domestication, which was a necessity for many reasons, not only just because we really need to have this intimate relationship with these beautiful creatures.
Right.
You know, just for our survival and the survival of the planet. But I think if we didn't have domestication with what we're doing to the land, they'd probably be extinct.
Right.
But it has created problems because horses have to eat from our land.
Right.
The Department of Agriculture has data that states that in the 1940s, the mineral content of the agricultural land in America, it was 50% greater than it is now.
I believe that, absolutely.
Well, there's a lot of data for it. There is actually a movement in Congress to, because I really believe it was much worse than that. I mean, that's, you know, I thought perhaps it really is, ours is much worse than that. You know, that they were aware of the incredible depletion in the soil, that they were trying to make a bill to change it, except the Second World War came around, and they stopped that project and went into the war, and then we started chemicals and fertilizers, and and here we are. And that by depletion of specific minerals, the immune system is inherently depleted. I'm going to list a few, Lisa, all right?
Okay.
I want you with me.
Absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely.
Because I'm speaking only from some, you know, geologist and mineralogist that I respect, but yet he's not an honest person. And then I went to this other place, and I found a site in a study that said that the immune system development requirements in minerals are both micro and macro.
Right.
And the micro minerals that are essential for the immune system's development are zinc, copper, cobalt, selenium, manganese.
Yes.
And macro, they say calcium, phosphorus, and magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
That these are what is essential nutritionally for the immune system to develop into a healthy functioning system.
Right.
Now, here's the FDA's report that says, you know, 1940, you know, the mineral content of our agricultural land is 50% greater than now. So that just kind of boggles my mind in thinking that horses are really, no matter what they eat, are really eating a deprived nutritional diet, and their immune system becomes weak.
Well, absolutely. And what I think what people don't understand is, you know, most farmers do not take care of their soils.
That's right.
You know, they quickly
right.
bombard them with the chemical fertilizers, and for instance, the superphosphate fertilizer inhibits the copper intake almost 100%.
Wow.
So even if there was copper there, by using this superphosphate fertilizer, it's inhibiting the plant from even being able to take that up out of the soil. And, you know, people think these chemical fertilizers are, you know, a great gift to mankind. But in reality, it absolutely has damaged our land and our soil. And, you know, I see that. I do a lot of nutritional consultations. And you can pretty much guarantee that especially those micronutrients are lacking in a horse that is getting hay and getting a concentrated feed. And unless you can replace that, and for instance, I know that a deficiency in copper allows the horse, then opens the horse up to parasitic infections, you know, for parasite overloads to get so out of balance that it then starts detrimental effects on the horse. And just by jacking up those trace minerals a little bit really helps with parasite problems.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've helped my position greatly. I knew you would.
Because
what we're saying now is that there is every reason to believe that the horses that have been born over the last decades have all been fed food, forage, that is deficient in essential minerals, and that there is an epidemic of weak immune system. And I believe this. And to have an immune system weak, just now, I think, gives a statement of what we're seeing in horses with infection, secondary infection, and the inability to make effective antibodies to be able to take care of antigens that are so harmful, and that the practice, and this is really, I must say, this is the position of the speaker, the practice of vaccination, especially with multiples and yearly, is similar to that study where what we're doing is presenting an antigen to a horse that in all likelihood does not have an immune system that is capable of warding off the possibilities from the microbes that come from these vaccinations.
So what you're saying is that because they already have an imbalance, that by giving these vaccinations, the body itself is not able to elicit the type of response that is needed, correct?
Yes.
In order to then build protection in the future, because if they're not strong enough to, you know, make that response the way that the body should be responding, then they're not getting the I hate to say benefits from the vaccinations, because over vaccination is the problem. It's not just vaccinations in itself; it's too much. Too many at one time.
I actually think that, yes, I do believe that. But I think there's another element to it.
Okay.
And that rather than it not being able to create the immunologic memory and the necessary built-in strategies to take care of the virus that the particular vaccination is representing.
Right.
I think that there's a problem in the present with the vaccination, that if the immune system is indeed deficient of specific leukocytes, and we intentionally inject an antigen, a virus, into the horse's body, and it doesn't have the leukocyte quantity, percentage, maturation to take care of the antigen that's been injected.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, the horse's just ineffective immune system will then have to get sick from that minute quantity of the antigen, especially with multiples.
Right.
But yet I've seen it with, you know, I don't want to list. I don't know if I can. I don't know. I don't want to list which ones. But there are some vaccinations that are just so strong that I see repeated illnesses and laminitic episodes from a single vaccination.
Well, I'd like to maybe mention it. I can do that, I think, and maybe I'm not correct, but I'm assuming it's the West Nile virus vaccination.
Well, that one is right up front.
Yeah, we see a lot of problems with that, but okay.
Yeah, one of my patients was a person who was working for the pharmaceutical company that made West Nile virus,
mm-hmm.
and was way up in the this company.
Mm.
And they told me, which appalled me, and after so many years in medicine, I shouldn't be appalled anymore, that it was indeed fine, and this was the first year that they had made the West Nile virus, and they said, what we're really doing is just waiting for FDA approval, And then there will no longer be a straight West Nile virus vaccination that will stick it with one and probably two more because we make more money that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what this person told me.
Hmm.
And I said, but what about the health of the horse? And this my patient said, that's really none of my business. My business is making these vaccinations and selling them and the corporate wealth. So that's why I'm saying today I'm speaking past the data.
Well, that's good because that this information needs to come out. People are, okay. We could go on forever, and I'm not going to get all riled up. Oh, boy.
But I don't know why, Lisa, I was going to do this today.
So let's just hit on, just very, very quickly, since we're talking about vaccinations,
okay.
The combination vaccinations.
Okay.
Because, you know, that is when I ask people when I do a consultation, I say, you know, what vaccinations has the horse had? And they, 98% of them come back with the normal ones. And I say, well, what exactly is that? And they don't have a clue because they're giving those 6-in-1s or they're giving the 7-in-1s and they don't even know.
No.
And I would assume that that is such a huge, I mean, that's like a major attack on our country. From all sides, from a bunch of different enemies at one time.
Yes, and I do believe that it's weak. I do believe that, we'll stay with your analogy, I do believe that the country is weak because of the nutrition, and then stresses. Another one, we'd have to, that would take too much time because I'd have to get into the hippocampus for that one. You know, but the horse's immune system is constantly being weakened, we have to consider that, and I don't, because I'm not a nutritionist. My way of dealing with this is through what I've been studying for 30 years in Chinese medicine, and I have an immune combination. I call it total immune health. And all of a sudden, I realized, that's right, I should talk about what I do.
Right.
and because I'm not a nutritionist, and I never make recommendations on supplements, because I don't know enough about it. But what I can make recommendations on is what I'm really good at. What I do is I put together, in this very precise, elegant manner, a group of 25 herbs that, when put in together in correct proportion, this blend creates monocytes, creates the differentiation of monocytes, the macrophages, neutrophils, eosinophils. I work at that level. It produces red blood cells, white blood cells. And so this total immune health does that, so that if a horse is dealing with any kind of an infection, you can do this to bring the necessary leukocytes to a place where the horse is able to take care of it.
Right.
Except I always will tell people, if you're dealing with a respiratory infection, use our respiratory herbs, because it's best to direct the herbs to the actual issue.
Right.
And so what I'm doing is not a supplementation, but what I'm doing is working with the organs, the lymph system, the spleen, the thymus. I'm working with the organs that produce these leukocytes so that the horse will produce it to the necessary level, rather than me just keep adding it and saying, here, just keep doing it. Because if I just formulate this the way I do, it actually will suggest to the horse's body that it starts making these leukocytes up to the level it needs for whatever situation it's in. And it won't make more than it needs to.
Okay.
So even if your horse isn't sick, it's something that can be used, you know, to just keep your horse at a nice, healthy level.
And perhaps, you know, if somebody didn't want to be on it all the time, but you know that the change of seasons, the fall, the spring, those are going to be more at-risk times.
Absolutely.
Then perhaps it's a good idea to plan ahead and give the immune, your immune herbs to prepare that horse, especially if they always have issues at the same time of year, I'm assuming.
If the seasons are quite consistent.
Right.
They really do present what they always do. And, you know, and there are issues like abscesses, which is a massive bacterial infection. And that, you know, it's very hard to get rid of abscesses without bringing the horse's immune system to a place where it has the leukocytes that deal with bacterial infection.
Right.
Otherwise, it just keeps going, going, and going. So that's how I do it. And you do it through the correct, you know, supplementation of the minerals that are missing in our soil and therefore in the horse's food.
Absolutely.
I think it's necessary that horses somehow, because of our responsibility by being their guardians, we try to find these ways to bring them to where they were before, you know, what we've done to the land. And I shouldn't say collectively, I didn't do it, but it's hard to separate myself from the human race, even though I try every once in a while.
Right, me too.
You know, so I do have to say me, I don't know. But I do think that what happens is people get, you know, unwittingly, it's not like I think people are intentional about doing such things, but I noticed that, you know, people are trying to do the right thing.
Right, they do.
Put quotations around the right thing, because the right thing seems to always be something from an outside authority rather than from what they know inside.
That is so true, and that's why I do what I do, is to try to empower them with the knowledge so that they can be reliant on themselves rather than, say, a major feed company who, quite frankly, their main concern is not necessarily the health of the horse. It is selling their products.
Yeah.
Same for the big drug manufacturers. Their goal is to sell product where we can, just by getting a little bit of knowledge, and I tell people that truly nutrition is not rocket science. It's actually somewhat basic when you look at the basic needs. And what I do through my consultations is always try to use more of the natural sources that the horse, if they were out on the wild, they would be able to find these things themselves.
Yes, they would.
No type of
and
a thing.
This is what we're trying to do.
And I think, you know, again, a holistic approach. You know, your fantastic formulations and a great diet, and you briefly hit on stress, but cutting down that stress, because if a horse is stressed,
that's so vital.
The immune system is working, you know, is stressed itself. Plus, if they have ulcers, then they cannot even utilize, even if you're giving them great food, if they have ulcers from stress, they're not able to utilize that as much as they should. So, you know,
they can't. So, Lisa, let's just keep going.
Okay. Well, we're going to, first of all, I want to go ahead and give your website, which is forloveofthehorse.com. Fantastic site. I've got links off of my site, but you've got some great articles that you've written. Lots of great information. There's a new forum on there that people who have used your formulas get on there and talk, and I think that is awesome.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, it's
because it's a wonderful resource.
Absolutely, because everyday people want to hear from everyday people. And so I think that's a fantastic resource. And of course, all of your different formulations and products, which I have to give you a plug for, that I have used for my horses for a variety of things. And I'm so happy to have you to turn to for that. So
thank you.
It's fantastic. So any last message that you want to leave our listeners with as we wrap this up?
Listen to your horses. Look at them. Recognize what you see in terms of healthy, not healthy behaviors. Look in their eyes. There are just so many subtle signs that can give you an indication that they're not feeling well.
Right.
And it's much better to get it at the subtle sign than when they're struck down with something severe. It's easier to correct, and it's more gentle for your horse. Listen to them.
And I want to add to that is that if you believe that you see a sign in your horse, whether it's an everyday sign or whether it's maybe a reaction after a vaccination, know that that is possible. And even if, say, a veterinarian says, oh, no way is that linked to that vaccination, know in your heart that you're probably right. And so just because somebody in, quote, authority tells you it isn't so, they're not always correct. And your horse, as you said, Joseph, will show you these signs. And they don't fake it. They're not like kids where they fake that they're sick. They tell you the absolute truth. Well, Joseph, thank you so much for being with us today. I really think this information, again, is going to empower horse guardians with, you know, some powerful information on keeping their horse healthy, getting their horse healthy if they're in a bad place now. And, again, your website for loveofthehorse.com. Fantastic articles that actually ran in Natural Horse Magazine, but you also have available on your site, and we've posted them on our site also. Well, I think that's it for another informational If Your Horse Could Talk show. We could go on for hours and hours and hours, but I know that people can stick with us for about an hour, and then they start digesting all the information and forget what we're saying if we go past that. So, everybody, be sure to take some time to look around our site, again, which is naturalhorsetalk.com, as well as going to Dr. Thomas's site at forloveofthehorse.com. And finally, a special thanks to our sponsors, whose involvement helps us to continue promoting natural horse care through knowledge. Now, our next webcast is scheduled for March 19th and is with Dr. Ella Battelle on headaches in horses, which I bet is a new subject for people. So, again, Joseph, thank you so much for sharing all the great knowledge, the scientific part of it, as well as the out-of-the-box part of it.
Thank you, Lisa, for asking me.
Okay, well.
I always love being with you.
Well, I think we just have to make this just a normal, you just need to be a regular show guest every 2 months or something like that, and we'll pick a fun topic and do it that way. I think truly that's what we should do.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, folks. Well, until next time, I'm Lisa Ross Williams with If Your Horse Could Talk.